All right, welcome back everyone to another episode of Time Out Talk. We're your host, Raphael Singer.
And Hunter Leon.
And we're pretty much smack dab in the middle of the off season. Not too much news to get into, so we have a lot of fun topics lined up, but let's start by talking about the actual news that we did hear about since the last episode. That's Ayo Dosunmu, point guard for the Bulls. He signed a 3-year, $21 million contract with the Bulls. We were talking about him a bit last episode as one of those guys who's still technically a free agent but restricted, and so he's finally sticking with the Bulls. So I guess because it's more of a lower tier move, Hunter, just t talk to me about how you feel about the Bulls coming into next season.
Yeah, the Bulls, I'm not sure if we've talked about them in the past few pods, but I definitely feel like they're kind of in that like Wizards from 2 years ago situation. They're sticking with their guys who they probably should have either traded or sought to make moves with, because this is clearly a mediocre middle of the pack team. I really liked that run they had in 2021, but I think they're holding on to something that they don't have, because I think the glue to that team was Lonzo Ball, who's clearly at this point not coming back to the Bulls. And we don't know if he'll ever be able to play basketball at a professional level again. So at this point, we just have to assume the worst. If I'm the Bulls, I'm assuming the worst, because yes, it would be great to have him, Lonzo Ball, back on my team, be back at that one seed position. But remember, even when they were the one seed, their biggest flaw was they couldn't beat winning teams. They were winning all the games they should have, but they lost every single game they played against to a top five seed. That's a horrible record to think about when you're talking about going into the postseason. They just couldn't beat good teams. So that still kind of raises the same questions, even if they're a mediocre team, is they couldn't get past teams in the playoffs anyway, even if they were the one seed. So look, I love DeMar DeRozan. I love Zach LaVine, but that core is not going to get you to even a contending position. Nikola Vucevic is on a team-friendly deal, but like, again, it's kind of just like the same thing where Bradley Beal, give him a big contract. You hope he can stay. Maybe you're trying to keep fans in the stands. You don't want to go through a full rebuild because you haven't necessarily been a winning franchise in recent memory, but you just have to do it. You just got to hit that hard reset button or setting yourself up for failure later. Ayo Dosunmu is a guy who they should keep around because he's a young talent and they got him on a super team-friendly deal. Like, honestly, this is one of the better contracts I've seen in this entire offseason, especially considering how much there's been inflation this offseason, with these mid-level NBA guys getting massive deals. This is a incredible deal. I think Ayo is going to be a very good future point guard for them, and they could start this rebuild if they wanted to with a guy like him.
Yeah, I think one thing that the Bulls are really expecting or kind of put a lot of stock into was that Patrick Williams pick from a couple years back. I think it was about 3 years now. If you remember, they took him at number 4, and that was a bit of a reach at the time, and people were sort of questioning that pick. He was a guy who I think was slated to go either at the end of the lottery or not even in the lottery, like a later first round pick. So taking him at 4 was a big surprise for many people. And so far, he's been just okay, I would say. Like, he has shown a bit of that potential to be a good two-way player. He has a decent shot, but nothing incredible. His offense hasn't really developed into what we thought it might be. People were sort of going crazy with the sort of Kawhi comparisons, even calling him the Paw as like a nickname, sort of a play on the Claw nickname for Kawhi. And so, yeah, I think like the Patrick Williams pick has been underwhelming so far. And that could also be the fact that, he has to play behind LaVine, DeRozan, and Vucevic. And so there's not really much room for him to grow there, right? Like he's not getting as many touches as like some of these young guys in Orlando or Detroit. So he doesn't get to develop as much and get those reps in the game. I'm sort of in agreement with you there. I think that the Bulls, with how they're currently constructed, are not really going anywhere. They just seem like a perennial first round exit or play-in team. Even with Lonzo, like this team doesn't really strike fear into like any team's hearts. I feel like, when your best player is DeMar DeRozan, I'm sorry, like I don't think that's going to get you anywhere. I don't think DeMar DeRozan is a guy who can be your number one on a contending team. He is an excellent number two, but I don't think he's ever going to be a number
Yeah,
one.
not anymore. I mean, you could go back like 5, 6, maybe even 8 years, and sure, you could call DeMar DeRozan your number one, but New modern NBA, it just doesn't work.
I just don't think he's ever been that guy. Even in Toronto, like those teams didn't go anywhere. They always fell short. And I think that's in large part due to DeRozan coming up short in the playoffs. Yes,
That's
he did
fair.
have to run into LeBron, but like still, those teams were very, very good in those mid 2010s Toronto teams.
I'd want to add to like this whole thing, like not to keep like bashing on the Bulls, but if you think back a few years as well, do you remember that massive kind of stretch where DeMar DeRozan was just hitting game winners left and right?
Yeah.
Like he was just hitting constant game winners, being super clutch, and it was crazy. And DeMar was a, I believe, an all-star starter that year. And that was the this season they were the number one seed. Well, if you're winning all your games on buzzer beaters, that's not sustainable.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, I think we've kind of got the point across as far as that goes with the Bulls. But I think their future direction could have been this offseason with trading guys. They could have traded DeMar. Probably wasn't too much of a market out there for him anyway. Who knows if they tried to shop him around and just didn't get what they wanted.
Yeah.
But a guy who also had a lot of value could have been Zach LaVine, even if they couldn't trade DeMar, kind of read out that contract. But you still, like you said, Patrick Williams is still a, could be a promising young player. Io is promising, and you can get a lot back in return when you're getting out the gate a guy like Zach LaVine, who is athletic, can have the three ball, you
One
know, he's still
thing,
very young.
yeah, well, I thought I agree with that point wholeheartedly. I think one thing about the Bulls that's disappointing if you're a Chicago fan is that, you did have a lot of good pieces there that we see now are really flourishing and blossoming into very solid NBA players. I mean, Lauri Markkanen was on this team and he got shipped away for nothing because the Bulls were sort of misusing him. They didn't allow him to handle the ball, didn't allow him to sort of run the offense or
Wendell
even
Carter.
create his own shot. Wendell Carter, exactly. You put that big package together for Nikola Vucevic, and Nikola Vucevic has just been extremely underwhelming in Chicago. The fit hasn't really been there, and his defense leaves a lot to be desired. So I think that Chicago, yeah, they're not in terrible shape right now. I mean, they're sort of just in this purgatory that we talk about so often. I want to see them try to make some moves because like ship off LaVine somewhere, try to get a young guy back, ship DeRozan somewhere, like just try to make something happen. Because if you just try to run it back this year with no Lonzo and just like the few additions you made were like Patrick Beverley and that's really it, then this team is going nowhere, man. I'm
Patrick
sorry.
Beverley isn't even there again. He's in the Sixers.
Oh my God, yeah, you're right. He was just there for at the end of that last season.
Yeah, he was just
Wow.
there for the end of the season. And actually, the thing is, Patrick Beverley was a difference maker. They didn't even try to keep him. So,
Yeah.
yeah. Look, they're going to be in a tough position this year. I wouldn't be surprised, especially with the rise of a lot of these young talents like the Orlando Magic in the East. You know, these young teams are just going to keep getting better. Don't be surprised if the Bulls are even out of the play-in and you see a team like the Orlando Magic slide into that 9 or 10 spot.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen so often how these young teams can really overperform when the young guns are just clicking and then playing free, playing fun. And some of these older teams that just don't really have a lot of like cohesion just kind of flounder. Like
Yeah,
I think back to
especially.
the yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to say, especially earlier in the season when, you know, teams are still trying to figure themselves out. Maybe they don't, the veterans don't really know how they work together yet. And these young guys just come in and play sort of like a, you know, YMCA basketball, like just like, you know, your typical hoop runs where it's just a bunch of athletic guys going out there and trying to dominate the other team and just seeing how it works out. Like they're not trying to figure things out. They're just young. They don't care. So, you know, sometimes, especially early in the season, that sort of free play style works a lot better. And, you know, once the veteran teams click, they figure it out and they see right through it. But, like, I remember last season, I can't remember what team it was. Maybe it was the Pacers very early in the season were a super high seeded team. Maybe it was the Rockets winning a few. Maybe it wasn't the Rockets, but there was a young team in the West as well that was winning a ton of games. And everyone was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Are they for real? I can't remember who it is for the life of me right now, but
Can we just
obviously they fell.
real quick, because you brought him up, can we just talk very briefly about the Pacers? Because I think next season they're going to be one of the most underrated teams in the entire association. I mean, Their
Oh yeah.
starting five is incredibly solid. You're looking at Tyrese at the point guard, Benedict Mathurin coming off that amazing rookie season last year at shooting guard, Buddy Hield probably at the small forward, Jairus Walker, who's a very, very talented defensive player, rounding at the four, and then Miles Turner to anchor you at center. And then you have solid guys coming off the bench, right? TJ McConnell, Andrew Nembhard, who I think is very under-talked about, Bruce Brown, right? Obi Toppin, Jalen Smith. Like this is a team that has a lot of talent, a lot of young firepower. Obviously, Tyrese Haliburton, one of the brightest young point guards in our league. And I think Miles Turner is always so good defensively, one of the best shooters in the entire league, and Buddy Hield. I think that the Pacers are going to have a very, very good season next year.
Oh yeah, I agree. They were the like we said a second ago, they were like the 4 seed, 3 seed at some point in this season, and they only went down due to injury. I believe Tyrese went out for a couple of weeks, and they dropped a ton in the standings. But he's a very winning player. This is a very winning team, and I like the entire rounded out roster that they have. So I could again see them in that, not even in the play-in, but in the actual playoff bracket. Very easily. And that's
Sure,
another
yeah.
team that could fill another spot. This is just a loaded NBA with talent. Just you
Yeah.
never know what team's going to be there.
I mean, I think for me, like in the East, I see a team like Atlanta losing John Collins, not really making any substantial moves this offseason, right? And I just think that they're a team that could really fall out of this sort of playoff picture even, or be toward the bottom, and a team like Indiana could sort of surpass them because like when I look at Atlanta's roster, I'm just not really that impressed. Like besides your starting five, which I think is very solid with, Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, Capella, DeAndre Hunter, you get to the bench and it's just a bunch of like young guys who I think, I don't know if I've seen enough from them to really have a lot of faith. So I would be honestly like as of right now, I probably would be leaning like more toward Indiana having a better record than Atlanta in the standings next year. Don't know if
We'll
you agree.
see. I mean, even based if you look at last year, I think you could say that. I could see Atlanta finding some su success with Clint Capella having a little bit more space to operate, getting maybe a few more lobs when the paint isn't as congested, maybe allowing DeJounte Murray to work in a little more in the mid-range. So I could see that clicking for Atlanta very well. But I think I see a future where Indiana just flourishes in an easier environment. I think they're going to have an easier time finding their success than Atlanta will. So I
Fair
tend to
enough.
agree. But
Awesome.
I think we can move on to the next topic here. We wanted to talk about this because it tends to be topic of conversation, but I don't think people talk about this really enough. And that's these three guys who have sort of created a push of player empowerment to the negative point, I think, to a negative extent. And that would be KD, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. This constantly switching of teams, constantly being in control of their situations, and kind of never really obeying their contracts. So how do you think that affects the way we view them as players, their legacies, and how do you think this impacts other NBA players and future players as well?
I don't know if necessarily I would take it in the direction of like, oh, this is harmful towards player empowerment, because I think that the players should be empowered. I think they should have agency in where they're going. I think that one thing we've learned throughout the past maybe 5, 10 years is that, look, players aren't loyal, but neither are organizations, right? Got to look no further than maybe the Isaiah Thomas Boston situation as an example of how, like, organizations will treat a guy who's given his all to a city, given his all to a franchise, and just sort of cast him aside for nothing the second he takes a dip in performance or something like that. So I am a fan of like the players having some control in that regard. But I think KD and Kyrie and Harden, as you're saying, sort of take it to the negative extent, right? And I think that's where it starts to harm their legacies and their image as a player, right? Because when you think about KD, Kyrie, and Harden, these three guys, I just think of them as guys who are just looking for the easiest path out, right? Just the freest sort of path to a ring, right? I mean, the KD is maybe the obvious example here, but Harden's always in talks to join these super teams. He was in conversations to join KD in Phoenix, still in talks to join Kawhi and PG in LA. And he even linked up with, Embiid in Philly to try and make this happen after being on that stacked team with these three in Brooklyn. So it just makes me think a lot less of them as competitors, especially compared to guys who have really stuck it out with one team and sort of, push forward historically. You think of guys like Kobe Bryant, obviously, guys in that regard, like even Damian Lillard in the modern day, just guys
Giannis,
that
Steph.
Giannis, all these guys who really are just battling it through and even winning in the case of like Steph and Giannis, like winning with the organizations that drafted them. I think it just mostly harms their reputation and our images of them. And yeah, I can't even lie. I do really think less of these guys after the way they've acted in the past 5 years and the decisions they've made in terms of where they're playing. Do you agree?
Yeah, I'd agree. And just to clear the air, like I'm in the same place with you as player empowerment. I just think what I was trying to get out of that was when you have guys like these three, I'd say Kyrie a little bit less so. I think James Harden and Kevin Durant do it a little more. I think Kyrie's kind of just in his own world. Like the only time he's really demanded out of anywhere was in Brooklyn. Like other than that, like he's just made decisions in free agency. So I don't take too much away from Kyrie as much as it is KD and Harden, but I think he still gets a bad rep for, sitting out games, certain decisions he's made that have cost him, temporary suspensions, even if warranted or not warranted, that's up to individuals to determine. But he still does have that bad rep, and when these players take advantage of the player empowerment that people are receiving and other players are getting the privilege of having, I mean, I think it's more so the right than a privilege, but those rights can be taken away a little bit more because certain players decide to take advantage of it, and then the owners and don't like that, and they try to figure out ways that they can get a little bit more power back. Like in this new CBA, we definitely saw a lot of more things to help small market teams to prevent these sort of measures from like the other teams in the past. Like I'm trying to think, Golden State Warriors getting Kevin Durant, or just like creating these super teams. They really are punishing teams for doing that, and that's also punishing the players, not just the organizations.
No, I mean, I agree with you there. I think that there really has to be an emphasis on sort of dissuading this kind of behavior. But I mean, it happens regardless. Like this new CBA was in effect when Bradley Beal, KD, all sort of linked up in Phoenix, right? And that's sort of exactly the situation the CBA tried to prevent. At the end of the day, I think players are going to be able to find ways to be where they want to be, play who they want to play with. So the onus really is on them to sort of, learn at a certain point that like it's a competitive game, like if you try to arbitrarily like ruin it by, I guess, creating an unfair advantage, like the KD joining the team with the best record in the regular season in 2017, that just diminishes the sport, it diminishes our image of you, and ultimately it's bad all around. There's no positives to take away from that. And so yeah, I think that we also have to mention like ring culture in this discussion here because that is very prevalent. And just the fact that like we talk about players so often and make our determination of them based on whether they have a ring or not, how many rings. And this is really like not a fair criteria because like a guy, I go back to him a lot, but like a guy like Damian Lillard, right? He's an all-time player, right? In the NBA's top 75, one of the best shooters of all time. So many clutch moments in the playoffs, and yet like people regard him much less than other players because he doesn't have a ring, right? Or a guy like Charles Barkley, he's a notorious guy in this category. Like that's an all-time player, one of the best power forwards that's ever graced this game. What he was doing on those Sixers teams, in Phoenix, like we've rarely ever seen that before, especially for a player at his size, like playing so much bigger than his height. but because he doesn't have a ring, that's somehow like held against him. But you know, like when you're going up against Jordan and like those teams, you have to put that into context. So I think that we need to really add nuance back to this conversation about like, oh, rings or no rings, and really like start to examine players just based on how talented they are, what they're able to produce on a basketball court, and not necessarily their team success, because that is all very contextual.
That's a fair point. Definitely don't disagree with that. But getting into that, because that actually kind of leads into the next thing I want to talk about. And it's something Paul Pierce sort of said along the lines of like winning and rings, and it was in relation to Dwayne Wade. And I just want to get your thoughts on these statements by Paul Pierce, who's historically had some bad takes. But he said this about, not at Dwayne Wade directly. He said he wasn't trying to take shots at Dwayne Wade, but it came up in a conversation. He said, "Put Shaq on my team, put LeBron and Bosh with me. I'm not going to win one." And he also said this, "My skills went unappreciated because I didn't get to play with great players." Do you agree or disagree?
I think that's pretty ridiculous for him to say. Well, first of all, I think it's funny he did play with Shaq. Yeah, it was at the tail end of his career, but you know, that like they did play together, so not sure what he was thinking about with that. But dude, you did play with amazing players in your career. You played with Kevin Garnett, you know, you played with Ray Allen, Rajon Rondo, and you won a ring. The fact that you weren't able to get more was because your team wasn't good enough to beat those Laker teams, or you know, like the other teams in the East that started to come out of that, like when
Orlando.
Orlando in 2009. So that is like honestly, you had all the pieces there, you had the talent, and you just weren't able to put it together. So I think trying to say that you didn't have enough skilled players is just a bit ridiculous. I'm trying to think, like, if you place Paul Pierce on those Miami Heat teams, say the 2006 Miami Heat team with Shaq, do they beat the Dallas Mavericks in the finals? Do they even get to the finals? That's a tough question. And I don't know. I think Dwayne Wade had a very special playoff run there, put up some insane scoring numbers in that series against Dallas. So I don't know if he could replicate that. I think that Paul Pierce, yes, he's a terrific player, all-time kind of guy. But I don't know if he's in the same vein as Dwayne Wade. Like, I don't know if he would really put up those numbers and be able to put the team on his back like that, because I don't even think we saw that in Boston, really. I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, and even if you put him like in that Heatles teams like the 2014, 2013, like LeBron, Bosh, and Paul Pierce. Let's say Paul Pierce is there instead of Dwayne Wade. I think you still run into the same issues that you ran into in that first run in 2011. Like, who's the alpha, LeBron or Paul Pierce in that case? You know, I think you still run into that kind of problem. Like, oh, it's my team or it's your team. And who knows? Because Dwayne Wade made the decision to have, say, tell LeBron you need to be the number one. I'll be your ba you know I'll be your Batman in this case, or oh, sorry, I'll be your Robin, not your Batman. But you know, would Paul Pierce have done that? Like, these are situations we will never be able to know. But yeah, this is a wild one from Paul Pierce, and I think Dwayne Wade is catching some strays here.
Yeah, I don't know why his name came up like that, but I have a question, because we do talk like Paul Pierce, whether you like him or not, and his don't let his take sort of dissuade or take away from the fact that, you know, he is a phenomenal basketball player, had a terrific career. In sort of talking about this rings thing, right? Who had a better career, Paul Pierce or Carmelo Anthony?
Wow, that's hard. Carmelo, I believe, is a lot higher all-time scoring. This is hard. Because I think Melo had a higher peak, but Paul Pierce was more sustained. And I say that because I think Melo sort of had this mental journey in the same way like Dwight Howard had that journey as well, where it's like, I'm a star and not necessarily I've lost my touch, but like what my role needs to be is different now. And he kind of became just a role player, kind of he fumbled a little bit around in OKC on those teams with Paul George and Russell Westbrook. You know, he was supposed to be that third star, and he kind of became a little disgruntled because he wasn't really that third star. He should have been more like a role player. And then he eventually accepted that once he got to Portland, eventually LA. But Paul Pierce, I don't think ever had that. So I'm gonna probably say by just a little bit, Paul Pierce.
Really, I mean, you don't think that he had that when he went to Brooklyn, and then he sort of his play really tapered off, or then when he
His
went
play
to
tapered off,
the
but he was still
Clippers, he
the
went to
guy though.
Washington. I mean, was he really the guy in
Not
Brooklyn?
in
I guess,
Washington or in on the Clippers, but it was a little bit different of a situation.
sure, but I'm saying, like, in terms of their like performance dropping off when they moved teams, like, I think
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah. No,
they're.
I'm not comparing the performance drop off. I'm comparing the mental of it. Like, I think it took Carmelo time to accept the fact that he wasn't who he was and that he was a role player. And I think Paul Pierce just accepted that
That's
right away.
fair. So, do you take into account the fact that Pierce has a ring and Melo doesn't?
I mean, it has some persuasion, but I think within this conversation that we talked about, this sort of this rings culture, I think it's important to look at that as a factor, but you have to take context into the situation. Who have these players played with? What opportunities have they been given to get rings? Who did they run into in their runs? And I would say that they ran into a similar competition. You think about who they mainly was their biggest competitor. It was probably both of them. Kobe Bryant was their biggest wall that they faced, and Melo had less help, that's for sure. Those Denver Nuggets teams were not as talented as the Celtics teams. But it still has some sway, and I think also the mental aspect of it is what brings Paul Pierce over it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that, when you look at the fact that, you had like they both encountered the same teams pretty much. I'm pretty sure they encountered the same exact team in 2009, right? Where the Lakers, or actually no, because I mean it was pretty much the same team. Like the
2009
year
versus
prior,
2008.
yeah, the year prior the Celtics beat them, and then in the conference finals in 2009, that's obviously where Kobe beat Melo in the conference finals. And those were some very solid Nuggets teams. I mean, you're looking at, Melo, Chauncey Billups, J.R. Smith, like Kenyon Martin. Those teams had a lot of talent on them. And just Melo couldn't get it done in that series. So yeah, I'm slightly leaning toward Paul Pierce. Even though I think if you look at like all time, who would I say is a better scorer all time, I would give the edge to Carmelo.
Yeah, if I'm taking a player at a single point in time, if I'm taking one of the two and just picking a day out of their prime, I'm taking Melo. But if I'm looking at their career, I'm taking Paul Pierce.
That's a good way to put it. And honestly, I agree with you there. From there, we can move on. I think you had a topic lined up.
Yeah, I had another one. So I really do love basketball, or it's NBA University on Twitter. I like seeing their posts. They do a lot of good work over there. And I want you to try and guess the top five most impactful rebounders. And what this means is how well their team rebounds when they're on the court versus off the court. So if it's the differential in rebounds per 48 minutes, so basically essentially saying this is how much better their team is at rebounding when they're on the floor. And I want you to try and guess the top five guys in that.
Okay,
And it's guys playing today, obviously.
I'm gonna go with Anthony Davis. He's got
He's
it right
number
there.
five. Anthony Davis is
Okay.
number five. Yes. And that's a plus 2.2 rebounds per game when he's on the floor.
I'm gonna go with Clint Capela, maybe.
He is number four at
Awesome.
2.5 rebounds.
Let's think. I'm trying to think of teams that don't really have strong big man presence outside of maybe one guy, or relatively small teams. So, a team like Charlotte, they don't even have a big man to begin with. So,
You're
they're
a little
really,
cold there. You're
yeah.
a
So,
little cold on that one.
I mean, like, you think rebounders, you think like Andre Drummond, but I mean, they do have Nikola Vucevic, so I don't think that he's there. Plus, he's coming off the bench. So, I mean, is Andre Drummond on the list?
He's not even in the top 10, so no.
Okay, cool. So, let's think. Great rebounders. Maybe a guy like Steven Adams, maybe for the Memphis
Steven Adams
Grizzlies.
is number one. on this
Oh,
list.
there we go. Sweet.
It's actually an insane drop off. He is a plus 7.8 rebounds per game when on the floor, which is
Yeah, I mean,
insane.
Jaren Jackson Jr. is not a very not a really big guy. You know,
Yeah, but
not
they
going to
do
be able
have
to grab
Brandon
those
Clarke coming off
rebounds.
the bench, and who's a good rebounder, so it's still very impressive.
That is true. That is true. I mean, just testament to how good of a rebounder Steven Adams is. I'm trying to think of these last two here. Give me some hints. Is it going to be a team in the
One of
East or a team
them
in the West?
is, both of these guys are in the West.
Okay.
One of them is an all-star level player
Interesting. Also a role player.
in the West.
Cool.
I'll
In
start
the
with that one.
West. Okay. So an all-star level player in the West. So that means that probably a big man. There's no way it's like a guard or forward.
These are both centers.
Okay, both centers. So all-star center. It's not Nikola Jokic, is it?
No, Jokic is on the list, but he's not in the top 10.
Interesting. All-star centers out west. Did this team make the playoffs? Like for yeah,
I
when I
think
was
they
in?
were a pl play-in, maybe.
Play in. Okay, so who was in the play in? It was oh, Karl-Anthony Towns.
It's his teammate.
Oh, Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert was number two on this list. So he's a very
Okay.
good rebounder at plus 6.3.
Sure, yeah, that name should have came to mind. I guess
And
I
then
just yeah.
this last team was also a play-in team.
In the West, interesting. So,
The West.
I mean, it was what, OKC, Minnesota, LA, and that last playing team. This is the one right here. I'm blanking right here. Wait, is OKC? Who did OKC
This
play
is
in the
so
first round?
enjoyable. No, knowing the answer makes it all much better.
Wasn't Utah, was it?
No, it was not Utah.
Oh my God.
Should I just give you the team, or do you think
Yeah,
it's too
just
obvious?
give me the team.
It
I'm
was the
blanking here.
Pelicans.
Oh my God, it was the Pelicans. So then, was it Jonas Valanciunas?
It was Jonas Valanciunas
Ah,
at
man.
plus 4.8 rebounds per game.
I don't know. I just
But
forgot about the Pelicans.
guys, I think are really interesting is Joel Embiid is a net negative rebounder. When he's on the floor, his team rebounds worse at a point minus 0.4. The guy who I
Wow.
think is pretty clear is Nikola Vucevic is a minus 2.5 on rebounds when he's on the floor.
That's kind of crazy. We were just talking about his impact on the Bulls being, less than expected. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so that tells you his team is a better rebounder when he's not on the court, which is kind of crazy. But I think we can move on to the next part. This is your deal, so I'll let you
Yeah.
start.
So basically, we've come up with a couple categories, got nine guys in each category, and you got to pick three here according to the criteria. So we'll start with yeah, this one is most skilled. So I'm going to give you nine players. You got to tell me the three most skilled players out of these nine. So here's a list. We have Kyrie, Steph, KD, AI, Kobe, MJ, Melo, Dirk, and Nash.
Damn, this is a really tough list. But I'm gonna go ahead and say it now. If I'm talking pure skill, I think Kyrie Irving has to be in that list. I'm trying to keep the physical tools out of it. Because I think physical tools and skill are you have to separate those two things. And I think another guy for me who's gotta be up there as far as most skilled players all time has to be Kobe Bryant. I
Yeah,
think
for
the
sure.
work he put in to create that skill, because that wasn't given, that was earned, which that's what skill is. It's you have to earn skill. You aren't given skill. And in that same respect, I'm gonna be giving that last spot to Steph Curry.
That's actually my same list, man.
Yeah, because
I
I
guess
believe it
what
was
made
it's
you?
hard.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to say it's really hard for me to leave Kevin Durant off of that list, but in a same respect, I feel that his gifts help him in a way that, like, his physical gifts, his height, helps him in a way that these other guys just weren't blessed with.
And would you sort of say the same thing for MJ? I mean,
I would say MJ had more physical tools that he used to his advantage, such as the size of his hands, for example, allowed him to palm the ball very easily, and his obvious athletic talent that he was naturally gifted. You know, those are two
sure.
things that
Yeah.
you can't take away. Those clear, he's my goat. Clear things, but just like in the same way, I don't think LeBron is the best at anything. You know, I think MJ, one of his things he wasn't the best at was skill. You know, that was just one of the things that wasn't his forte.
Yeah, sure. And you can even look to maybe it's like his 3-point shooting and his, inability to really master that part of the game is sort of evidence of that.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I'll give you this next one. I want to see your top three on this list because this is
Sure.
probably the hardest one. It's
Oh,
most
man.
athletic. Ja Morant, Dwight Howard, Zion Williamson, Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Giannis, Russ, Blake Griffin, and Derrick Rose.
I mean, the first name I'm going to say, kind of like how you picked Kyrie immediately, I have to go LeBron here. I mean, you talk about like a player being able to jump out of the gym, like incredibly fast, able to move laterally quickly, explosive, dominant, and just the longevity aspect of it, 21 years now and counting. I have to go with LeBron in this list. Now, also, do I go with the highest like athletic peak or just like sustained longevity in terms of their athleticism? It's hard to say. So I'm gonna just gonna try and balance it all. And then I think I'm gonna have to go Russell Westbrook then as well. I mean, talk about a guy who can just, I mean, when he attacks the rim, it's like he's gonna tear the rim off the, off the backboard every single time. This is a guy who's incredibly strong, can, like I said, jump out the gym. And one of the fastest players you've ever seen play the game. A guy like Derrick Rose would have been in that conversation, but he had such a short stint of that athletic prime that I think we've never seen from him again. Same with maybe Blake Griffin and kind of even Zion in that regard, because like we haven't seen too much of Zion. So for me, it's really between maybe Dwayne Wade and Dwight. And I honestly might have to go Dwight Howard here. I think that, his stretch, like where he was winning four defense player of the years, taking his team all the way to the NBA finals and just dominating the game. He was a physical presence that we haven't really seen since the likes of Shaq. And whereas I think Shaq like dominated due to his size and his just toughness and just his build, I think Dwight really dominated, yes, because of those physical attributes, but also because of his just pure athleticism. The fact that, he could just catch any lob and just yam it down with such like power that we haven't really seen before. So, yeah, I think that's my list right there. Bron, Russ, and Dwight.
Yeah, that's a good list right there. I'm gonna eliminate some guys first. I love Blake Griffin, but again, like you said, I think it was a little too short of a athletic prime to be on that list for that same reason. Probably eliminate Derrick Rose, even though I hate to do it. I think it has to be a little bit more, sustained. Damn, but that Giannis, I think maybe. By the time it's said and done, he could be on this list, but he needs a little bit longer in his career. Definitely Zion can't be there. So I'm between those same sort of guys. I'm between Ja, Dwight, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron and Russ. Like you said, LeBron's a no-brainer, so I'm going to take LeBron. I'm going to take Russell Westbrook as well, because I think he has to be on that list of, just I think also the speed is insane.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take Dwayne Wade for those same reasons as well. I really do like Dwight in that respect, but I think his peak was a little short as well. I think his back injury really did set him back in his career. Like once he got to the Lakers, coming back a little too early. Like I think all those things really compiled, and that sort of is another tick off of him for me. The same reason Ja, but when it's all said and done, he could very easily be number one most athletic player of all time in the NBA, but you just need a little bit longer in his career to get there. No,
Yeah, definitely.
get me 10 years into Ja's career and we'll see where he's at, But
For sure. Let's move
yeah,
on to the last category here. And I'll leave you with this one. So this is highest peaks, right? So we talked about like longevity. Ignore all that. We're just talking about highest peaks in their career. So the players here are Anthony Davis, James Harden, Dwight Howard, Damian Lillard, Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, Paul Pierce, Joel Embiid, and Chris Paul.
I think people like we were talking about Dwight. Dwight has to be immediately on there for me. You know, he was special, you know, just four defensive player of the years, absolute dominance. Like his peak was like Shaq-esque. I wouldn't quite say it was Shaq, but it was the closest thing we'll ever see and have seen in the NBA that has to be up there. I'm gonna probably also take Carmelo Anthony, another guy we talked about him earlier in this podcast. I think his prime was easily the best scorer in the NBA at that time. You know, he just automatic anywhere on the court, catch fire, Nuggets. I'd probably take, you know, end of the Nuggets to like beginning of New York Melo, like for that sort of the deal. Then lastly, I'm probably gonna take Chris Paul. I think people undervalue how much of a winning player Chris Paul was for his, not only his entire career, but just like in those New Orleans days and those early Clippers days, that man was just so good. It was just undeniable, the best point guard in the NBA at that time. Just such a smooth handle, best passer, great lobs. Like just he had everything. He made his teammates like DeAndre Jordan was an all-star because of this man. You know, how many guys in the NBA all time can you say literally turned their average role player teammates into all-stars? Like very
I
few.
guess a couple questions I have for you. So, like, one is you left the two guys on here that have won MVPs off the list, right? And Russell
James Harden.
Westbrook and James Harden. Does that not factor into your consideration? And also, to what extent does playoff success have to play a factor here? Because, like, Dwight made it to the finals. But, CP3 consistently underwhelmed in the final or in the playoffs during his peak.
I didn't really think about playoff success in this one. You know, that wasn't really a factor for me. But if we're taking playoff success into account, that does definitely change the list a little bit. It was hard for me to leave James Harden off of here because, I mean, his peak was really incredible. But I think his impact was limited to himself. I think, like, when it would have really been between James Harden and Chris Paul for me. And I think Chris Paul just provided more overall impact on the floor in his peak than James Harden did. And also, James Harden's best years were played with Chris Paul. Not his MVP season, but the seasons that he got closest to winning were with Chris Paul. But and those were the seasons that he was playing against the KD Warriors. So, you know, that's even harder. Then looking at Russ, man, it's really hard to leave Russ off this list. Honestly, probably harder than leaving Harden off this list. And I really don't necessarily have a reasoning for that because I might have to put Russ over CP3. It's so close, man. I don't know, honestly. But I
Yeah,
don't want to disrespect Russ like that.
I would probably put Russ on the list as well, maybe over Carmelo, and then maybe put a guy like Harden on there maybe as well. I think that this the level of scoring that we saw from him was like once in a lifetime, where he was going on stretches scoring 50 straight for months, and it's like, what are we seeing? How is this guy averaging 50 in a month? That's like Wilt Chamberlain scoring numbers. And so I think I might have to put him on that list, but everybody here deserves to be on this list. So, except maybe Embiid, I don't know.
Yeah, I
Like
don't know why
that's the one
Embiid
that
is
kind of
on
sticks.
that.
I don't know. He kind of sticks out. But
It's like that
yeah,
meme of the like military guys with the clown, like, you know.
yeah, yeah. One of these guys should not be here. But anyway, moving on. The last segment we have for today's podcast is a random letter draft. So Hunter's going to spin like a random wheel to give us a letter, and then we're going to draft teams with players starting with that letter. So
Is it for the
then,
entire team or are we doing player by player?
for the entire team, like, so if
Okay.
you pull the letter K, we got to find K names in the
Okay.
NBA.
Well, I
Oh.
just pulled X, so I'm gonna
Yeah, we're
reroll.
going to reroll there.
Oh, you so who's getting O?
It's O.
Oh.
Okay. You could start first. You can start
Okay.
first.
I'll take Oscar Robertson.
Okay. Oscar Ross, the big O. I mean,
Big
that's
O.
like
Got they gotta take
that's
Big O.
dang, this is tough because there's really not a lot of O names in the NBA.
No, there aren't.
Are we doing the last names as well, or
Yeah,
like
you can do last and first names.
let me think.
Damn, it's a short list.
Yeah. Give me like ten, count down from 10. Like oh.
Okay, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, I gotta go. Otto Porter Jr. That's like
Oh, that's
all I could think about.
okay. Are you playing them at your two or your three?
I'll put him on my three. All right, we'll keep him at two for now. We'll see how
Okay.
that works.
I think I'm gonna go. I don't like who's popping in my head. Oh, I'm gonna go Charles Oakley
Oh, dang, that's a good
to
one.
run my. We'll keep him at the five for now.
Okay, Charles Oakley. How about oh man. It's not looking good, man. The thoughts that are going through my head are real bad. If you could see what's going through my head, man, you would be in fear.
Are you thinking like Onyeka Okongwu or something?
I didn't even think of that, but dude, with the way that my head is going, I might have to take him. Let's see.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5,
All right, we
four.
gotta go. We're going Obi Toppin at the four.
Oh no.
It's not looking good, man. I'm drafting the G League squad.
I just realized I'm gonna put Charles Oakley at my four. I don't know how he didn't think of this, but Mr. Shaquille O'Neal is going to be on my team.
Oh my God. How did I not think of Shaq? Let's see. Okay. So far, I think our teams are about even.
I'd say so. Obi Toppin is going up against Charles Oakley.
And dang, O is really not an easy letter,
It's
man.
not. It's not. I think I have two guys in mind. I do I need to give you some help?
No, I gotta do this myself.
Okay, can I give you a team?
Sure.
He's known for his time on the Pacers.
Well, it's not on the Pacers. What years? Like.
Like maybe 20 like 17 to 2019 kind of.
Oh, Victor Oladipo. I'll run him on
Yeah.
my one. I'll
Okay.
run him on my one. Ah, how to. Dude, I'm so bad at thinking of names off the top of my head. I'm thinking maybe for the next one, the next time we do
It's
this,
hard.
we can come up with, we can just like do a draft of guy, like do a little bit of research before. It's coming up because
Definitely.
then we
It's hard.
can,
It's hard off the top of your head.
yeah.
Ooh, I think I'm gonna run at my three, Lamar Odom.
Oh, I like that.
He's just a good glue guy, you know, got a lot of talent on the squad. Need a guy who doesn't need the ball in his hands. Oh my God, I just thought of another center who is all time that you can take that we didn't think of somehow.
Let's see, all-time center. Is it first or last name that starts with an O?
Last.
What team is he known for?
Rockets.
The Nuggets?
Rockets.
Oh,
You're gonna kick
Rockets.
yourself for this
Oh,
one. You're really gonna kick
Hakeem
yourself for
Elijah
this.
one?
Yeah. How
Oh
do we
yeah,
not think of that?
I go Hakeem on my five. Okay.
How did we not think of that at all?
I don't know, man. It's kind of crazy.
Okay, I need some shooting on my team.
You want a hint? I got you. Omri Caspi.
Is that the kind of guys that are running through your head, man?
Yes, dude.
Like Seti Osman.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, screw it. I'm running Greg Oden at my two.
Greg Oden has two.
Yeah.
Okay, so, wow. That's definitely one of the picks I've ever heard.
Yeah. Dude, that was the first name that popped in my head. So
And then I need a three, so I'll go for a solid Chetty Osman.
right. All right, you guys. Tell us who won.
So yeah, Hunter's lineup is Oscar Robertson, Greg Oden at the two, Lamar Odom, Charles Oakley, and Shaquille O'Neal. And then my lineup is Victor Oladipo, Otto Porter Jr., Chetty Osman, Obi Toppin, which if you just leave those four names right there, that's literally a G League squad. That's like not even a good G League team. That's like
Hey,
a
now look,
middle.
Victor Oladipo in his prime is an all-star.
Yeah, okay, fair. I guess we're looking at primes. And then Hakeem Olajuwon, he's gonna really have to do a lot of heavy lifting with this squad.
Yeah.
So, man. All right, well, lesson learned for next time. Got to do my do our research so that way we don't have Greg Oden at the two or
Look, I'm
Obi.
proud of myself. I thought of a lot of names for the
You
O.
did. No, that was impressive.
Yes.
But with that, that's another great episode in the books. We'll be back next week to cover any news, have some more fun topics, probably have another random letter draft, maybe with a little more preparation. But
Yep.
yeah, thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you then. Take care.
Peace.